Yesterday, Sayaji said that Dhammam Passando Mampasati. Buddha said that the one who sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. Meaning that the one who does not see the Dhamma does not see the Buddha. After Buddha gained enlightenment, Buddha stayed in Buddhagaya for 7 weeks, 49 days. And Buddha reflected to whom Buddha should teach. Buddha first thought of the two teachers, Alara and Udaka. Among these two teachers, one had already passed away 7 days before Buddha gained enlightenment. And the other one passed away 1 day before Buddha gained enlightenment. Both of these teachers were reborn in non-material realm. During these days, people practice samatha, tranquility meditation. Without practice of vipassana, they did not attain knowledge, such as knowledge into nama rupa, mind and matter. They did not develop vipassana knowledge, and they did not realize the nibbana. So these teachers were reborn in non-material realm without realizing nibbana in their past life as a human being. And Buddha had great spiritual urgency, samvega. As they were reborn in non-material world, having no chance to listen to the Dhamma discourses. And later on, Buddha reflected to whom Buddha should teach, and Buddha remembered the five persons, the group of five, who offered their services when Buddha was practicing in the forest. So the group of five, they were not satisfied with Buddha because Buddha accepted suitable food. So the group of five, they moved to another place. In order to teach the group of five, Buddha traveled to the place where they were. And on the way, Buddha met Upaka. And Saraji will continue to explain today. On the way, Buddha met Upaka, and Upaka asked questions to the Buddha. My monk, sure you look serene and composed, and your complexion is very pure, clean, and shining. Who are you? Whom did you depend on and became a Bhagavad-gita? Who is your teacher? And which belief do you believe in? And Buddha responded. So Upaka asked three questions. Which teacher did you aim in becoming a monk? Who is your teacher? And which belief do you believe in? And usually, people nowadays ask such questions. Buddha looked very serene, composed, and Buddha was good looking in every way, every aspect. Because Buddha practiced meditation and Buddha was totally free from defilements, Buddha's mind was very pure and clean. Buddha's pure mind even reflected on his complexion and appearance so that Buddha glowed in good complexion. In other words, Buddha was handsome, very good looking. Based on Buddha's pure mind, which is beautiful, this beauty of the mind also reflected on the appearance. In the same way, when people practice Satipatthana meditation, their appearance also become good looking after practice. Not to the extent that Buddha had good appearance, but to a certain extent, a person who practices improves his or her appearance after practicing. Buddha replied to Upaka in verses. Buddha said, Buddha was Sabbabibhu. It means a person who has victory on things one should have victory on. What should we have victory on? We should have victory on our own self. Throughout the samsara, throughout the round of existences, people are indulging in kilesa defilements, and thus they commit transgressions and misconduct. Indulging in defilements, their physical, verbal, mental behavior become inferior. Based on the defilements, such as raga, dosa, moha, lust, aversion, and delusion, which are internal and enmity, people's mind are weak. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can overcome these defilements. One will develop controlling faculties such as sadha, viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya, effort. Sadha, faith and confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one's faith and confidence will become strong. And also, one will be overcoming doubt and uncertainty. There will not be uncertainty. In this way, one overcomes doubt, uncertainty. One accepts, confirm, and come to a decision that this is the true Dhamma. In this way, faith and confidence become firm and steady. Having viriya, effort, one has the courage to refrain from unwholesome deeds. Having courageous effort, one will not be overwhelmed by laziness. Having courageous effort, one can overwhelm the defilements such as laziness and so on. Having mindfulness, one refrains from things that should be refrained from, and one performs things that should be performed. One should be mindful, one should have sati all the time. And with samadhi, concentration, one's mind is not distracted. One's mind will not be scattered or distracted. Having knowledge, one will not be inferior. One will not have inferiority, which can arise by lack of knowledge. Having these controlling faculties, Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, faith and confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and knowledge, one has a victory on oneself. And it is called Sapa Bibhu, the person who has victory on oneself, the one who has a very good control of oneself. So Buddha used this word, Sapa Bibhu, to describe himself. We should set example of the Buddha, and also one should practice so that one can overcome defilements that has been following throughout the round of existences. So in order to not to be inferior, one should practice Sila, Samadhi, Panya, so as to avoid, prevent, cure, suppress, and uproot the defilements which are in ordinary level or the extreme level. So by practicing, one will avoid, prevent, cure, suppress, and uproot the defilements, and one will be a true winner. One will have true victory on oneself. And Buddha is the example. And Buddha also described himself by using the word Sabha Vipu. It means the person who knows everything that should be known. So by practicing, Buddha gained knowledges such as discerning into mind and matter, and develop vipassana knowledge stage by stage, and finally Buddha attained four stages of Maggajnana, four stages of path knowledge, and four stages of Phalajnana, four stages of fruition knowledge. And with Arhatta Magga, with Arhattaship, Buddha eradicated all the defilements without any remainder at all. In this way, Buddha totally eradicated all the defilements. Among the defilements that were eradicated, there is moha, delusion. Delusion is not knowing things that should be known. When there is delusion, one will be dim, vague about things. Not knowing and knowing wrongly, it is moha, delusion. And Buddha eradicated moha, delusion, with arhatship. So Buddha eradicated all the defilements. Buddha eradicated delusion so that there is no remainder of defilement at all. Buddha knew everything that should be known. And that's why Buddha is called Sapa Vipu. Practicing Satipatthana meditation is to know what is arising in oneself. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one will develop knowledge. Without knowledge, one believes in things which really does not exist. People believe in soul, jiva atta, individual soul. They believe that there is jiva atta in each being. They also believe in Parama Atta, Supreme Soul, believing that the Supreme Soul is controlling, governing everything. And they also have wrong beliefs of permanent good and self. So by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one develops knowledge and one will understand the truth. When one realizes Nibbana by gaining path and fruition knowledge, one understands that there is the kind of happiness that excels so many times than the worldly happiness. There is a kind of happiness where no other happiness can match. So from his or her own experience, the person realizes that there is the happiness which no other worldly happiness can match. So especially by removing delusion, one gains knowledge, on things which should be known. And Buddha knew everything that should be known, and Buddha described himself using the word sabbavibhu. Usually, it is not good to reveal one's quality, but here in this case, Buddha revealed Buddha's virtue so that it will be of benefit. It will be of benefit for the beings. Among the things Buddha knew what was wholesome and what was unwholesome. And Buddha knew the results, and Buddha knew the planes, the 31 planes, which is the result of wholesome and unwholesome deeds. And Buddha knew that wholesome deeds bring good results and unwholesome deeds bring bad consequences. If one does not have correct attention, then one will be slipped away from the truth. If one indulges in moha delusion, based on the moha delusion, one can commit wholesome deeds. And indulging in the defilements, one will be doing unwholesome deeds, which will make the person inferior. By depending on Kalyanamitta, by depending on good companion, one can cultivate, one can practice dana, sila, and bhavana. And by practicing dana, sila, and bhavana, one can purify oneself, and one will get benefits. And by developing wholesome deeds, that can lead to cessation, then one can be totally free from the suffering of existences. Buddha knew these things, and Buddha did not keep to himself, but Buddha taught others. If Buddha did not came into existence, how would we be like? If Buddha did not come into existence, Beings will not know. Beings will not be able to differentiate what is wholesome and what is not wholesome. Unable to distinguish wholesome and unwholesome, beings will be inferior and beings will not get benefits. Because Buddha came into existence, beings come to be able to differentiate what is wholesome and what is not wholesome, and beings come to learn about the planes, which are the result of one's deeds. And based on Buddha, people can practice and gain benefit. So Buddha revealed that he was endowed with the quality Sabbavibhu, the person who knew everything that should be known. Another quality of the Buddha, Sabbesu Dhammesu Anupaleto. By practicing Satipatthana meditation to the full extent, Buddha had eradicated avidya, ignorance. And Buddha saw the flaws of existences, so Buddha had no longer craving or clinging. And also Buddha did not have any contradiction towards things. Even though Buddha was meeting good and bad things, there was neither likes nor dislikes. There was neither craving nor aversion. Even though Buddha came across desirable objects, there was no craving. Even though Buddha came across undesirable objects, there was no aversion, hatred, or anger. So in this way, there was neither compliance nor contradiction. There were no other defilements such as envy, jealousy. Whatever Buddha saw, heard, smelled, tasted, touched, Buddha sees the flaws of the nama rupa, mind and matter. So Buddha was not tainted with the defilements. Buddha was not tainted with the defilements based on nama rupa, mind and matter. So for yogis who practiced very well, when these yogis are able to note every arising object, then these yogis will develop knowledge into mind and matter, cause and effect, and the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. Knowing that things are impermanent, one will no longer entertain mana, conceit. Knowing things are suffering, one will no longer crave onto things. Knowing that things are happening in their own accord, one will no longer have the wrong belief, believing in atta. In this way, seeing the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self, one removes these defilements, mana, tatna, and ditti, conceit, craving, and wrong view. When the yogi has attained Sankharupika jnana, such a yogi will not have either likes nor dislikes based on what he, she sees, hears, smells, tastes, touch, and know. So at this stage of Sankharupika jnana, even though the person encounters good and bad things, There will not be likes nor dislikes. There will neither be craving nor aversion. So at this stage, one is not elated when one comes across good things. One will not have aversion even though one comes across undesirable things. It is said that upekkha viharati, the person is in the state of equilibrium. The person's mind is balanced, even though he/she is encountering good and bad things. Because sato and sambajano, the person is mindful and the person has clear knowledge on things. At this stage of sankharupekkha jnana, the yogi is compared to an arahat. So by practicing Satipatthana meditation, when one comes to the stage of sankharupekkha jnana, one will understand it from one's own experience. Buddha, even though Buddha encountered good and bad things, Buddha was not tainted with any of the defilements. Buddha was in the state of equilibrium, and Buddha had this balanced mind. And yogis can compare from their own experience. So Buddha was not tainted with any of the defilements based on the things Buddha saw, heard, smelled, tasted, touched, and so on. So Buddha eradicated all the defilements to the point of no return. Buddha's mind was totally purified away from the defilements. It is said that sabban saho, sabban jaho, tanakayo vimoto. Based on the objects, desirable and undesirable objects, Buddha neither had craving nor aversion. Buddha eradicated all the defilements without any remainder left. So the craving had been eradicated. Buddha did not have any attachment on anything that was seen, heard, tasted, smelled, and touched, and so on. And Buddha did not have any attachment on the existences. Buddha was totally free from all the defilements, and it is called vimutta. Based on the objects that arises on the six sense doors and the existences, Buddha did not have any attachment, craving to any of them. So Buddha was totally free. Buddha was totally free from the bondage of these existences. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can also overcome craving based on the objects that the person sees, hears, smells, tastes, touches, and so on. So in order to practice, one should give up the sensual pleasure, the worldly pleasure, in order to practice. So by giving up, which is called parityaga, by giving up the sensual pleasure, worldly pleasure, when coming into practice, one can gain the Dhamma pleasure. So that's why one will make profit by giving up the worldly pleasure, sensual pleasure. When one is free from these wrong views, when one is free from these craving, aversion, and so on, it is very peaceful. When one develops knowledge, one can also overcome ditthi, wrong view, believing in Jiva Atta and Brahma Atta, individual soul and supreme soul. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can also experience such kind of freedom from these defilements, and it will be very peaceful. Even though one cannot match Buddha, but to a certain extent, one can gain happiness and peace by practicing Satipatthana meditation. So for yogis, when their practice gains momentum, they develop knowledge. By practicing sila, morality, one can overcome transgression by body and speech. And also by practicing, one is removing tanha, craving, momentarily. One is said to be free from gross kind of defilements, gross kind of craving. So by practicing, even though one comes across good things, craving cannot arise. By practicing sila, one can overcome gross craving. And by virya sati samadhi, by having effort, mindfulness, and concentration, one can overcome defilements that can arise in one's mind. And by developing knowledge, one can overcome latent or dormant form of craving. By giving up the sensual pleasure, worldly pleasure, one is said to be abandoning craving, and one's body, speech, and mind will become blameless, pure, clean, gentle, and lovable. And one is gaining such purity in body, speech, and mind. So yogis can imagine imagine how Buddha had gained purity based on one's practice. So when the yogis are practicing, when their practice gains momentum, they are abandoning craving momentarily, and it is the benefit of practice. By giving up craving, one will gain freedom from the defilements. It is called parikaha. So the Upaka asked the Buddha, to whom did you aim in becoming a Pappajitta? And Saraji continues to explain that a Pappajitta means a person who give up the worldly matters and worldly happiness in order to go and stay in a meditation center where one extinguishes kilesa defilements in a very urgent way. So there are Pappajittas who are bearing the appearance only. If one does not practice to extinguish the defilements, one is bearing the appearance of a Pappajitta only, and one will be a Pappajitta by name, in name only. But Buddha perfected all the paramis. Buddha perfected parami, perfections, and Buddha practiced the Majjhima Patipada, the middle way. It is the way, it is the path that Buddha himself founded, and it is the path Buddha practiced. So based on parami, based on the perfections that Buddha had fulfilled, Buddha found Majjhima Patipada, the middle path, and Buddha walked on this path by practicing Sila, Samadhi, Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. By practicing Sila, one can overcome gross defilements. By practicing Samadhi, one can overcome medium form of defilements. And by practicing Panya, one can overcome refined form of defilements. By practicing the three trainings, Sila, Samadhi, Panya, one is extinguishing these defilements. A person who extinguishes the defilements is called a Pappajjita. So there are those who bear just the appearance of the Pappajjita if one does not practice. So rather than bearing the appearance of Pappajjita, it is more important to practice Sila, Samadhi, Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom as Buddha had taught, so that one not only bears the appearance, but one bears also the practice that is prescribed by the Buddha. Based on the paramis perfection, Buddha found Majjhima Patipada, the middle path. Buddha practiced Sila, Samadhi, Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. And Buddha extinguished all the defilements by developing eight noble paths. So, answering the question, Upaka asked the Buddha, whom did you aim in being a Pappajjita? So to answer the question, Buddha perfected the parami perfection himself. Buddha found Majjhima Patipada himself. And Buddha practiced this middle path. And Buddha extinguished all the defilements by himself without any teacher. The method Buddha himself found himself. So by taking example of Buddha, whatever one is, whether one is a bhikkhu or a bhikkhuni, samanera or samaneri, it is important not only to bear the appearance of a Pappajjita, but it is more important to bear the practice that Buddha had prescribed. Upaka also asked the question, Ko wa te sata. It means that who is the teacher, who is your teacher, who guided what is beneficial and who prohibited what is harmful. So to answer this question, Buddha found Majjhima Patipada, the middle path, by himself, without any guidance of a teacher. Buddha perfected parami perfection himself. Buddha found the correct path by himself, and Buddha walked this correct path, and Buddha reached the destination. And the third question is, who was your teacher? It does not need to be answered, because when Buddha explained himself, defining, using this word, it automatically shows that Buddha walked on the path that Buddha had founded himself. And by walking this path that Buddha himself found, Buddha reached the destination. And because Buddha knew things that should be known through practice, the practice that Buddha had found himself, there is no teacher. Buddha did not have any teacher. Saying that Buddha knew things himself, it automatically applies that there is no teacher. And Saraji will continue to explain the next day. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.